So yesterday we had a chance to begin to explore the Gemara of Torah im Derech Eretz, or Torah or Parnasa. We saw a steer in Psukim coming off of the discussion about the Makkah for Bracha Rishona. The Gemara had a series of two steeros in Psukim, both of which involved Vasafta de Ganecha, and focused on the second one in particular. The first one, Rav Chanina bar Papi spoke about Schar V'Yonesh, whether we're zochet to gather our own grain or whether marauding enemies will take it instead as a question of whether we're zochet or not. I'm sorry? A Nachri is a non-Jew. The word Nachri is another term for a non-Jew. It's used by the Chumash, it's used by the Tanoim. So that's Rav Chanina bar Papi. The Amora raises a stira, but do we get to have our own dagon, or will it be taken by others? So it depends. If we're zocha, if Klai Yisrael behave properly, then we will reap the benefits, reap the schar that we speak about in Kriyashma of Asafta Diganecha. If we don't, if we're behaving the way the Jews did in the days of Hosea, so then we may suffer the fate that Hosea prophesies about, that other marauding enemies will take away our dagon. Then the Gemara quotes a Braisa. That was really our focus here. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, another stira involving the pasuk Vasafta Diganecha. But this is in the other direction. Yes, we have our dagan, but do we need to harvest it ourselves? Are we allowed to harvest ourselves? Are we supposed to harvest ourselves? Or is it Malachto Nasis Ali De'achirim? Because after all, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Yomer Sefer Torah is not picha, gizu yom v'layla. So it's learning day and night. Who has time to work? As Rishon Bar Yochai said, to run a farm is so much work throughout most of the year. There's Harisha, and there's Ria, and there's Ktira, and there's Disha, and there's Zaria with the Yud, to be Zore, to winnow, and there's more and more and more. You know, your Yudav Malachas of Sidur the Pas. So that was a stira that both Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon dealt with. As we said yesterday, the way in which they differ over how to go about resolving the steer is a little bit similar to the famous Macholkas of Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer in Maseches Tzachim, but how you resolve the steer in terms of Simchas Yontif, is it's Lashem or Lachem. Rabbi Lezer there had said either or, Alkul Lashem, Alkul Lachem, and Rabbi Yeshua said, no, Chetzio Lashem, Chetzio Lachem, both, yes and. So that's what's going on here. Rabbi Shimon says it's either or. It's either you're working or you're learning, and really you should be learning. But if you're not zocheh, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't good enough to you to allow you to be able to sit and learn, which is ideal, so then Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to have to work. That is Rabbi Shimon's approach. While the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon's, if you will, his intellectual uncle, he was a Rabbi Shimon was a Talmud of Akiva. Rakiva and Rishmal were peers in Bnei Of and Bnei Plukta. So Rishmal held no. Rishmal said it's not either or, it's yes and. It's you learn and you also work. Hanheg behem mir derech eretz. You have to blend in together with the learning, you have to blend in derech eretz. You have to blend in working for a living in a natural way. So that was a machlokas atanam. Is working for a living ideal or not ideal? This is not a machlokas that started 50 years ago. This is an ancient machlokas atanam that goes back almost 2,000 years, and maybe it was a machlokas even beforehand. Hard to know for sure, but we have a record of a machlokas atanam shortly after the Churban Bayis Sheni. And how do we paskin? So we took, looking at yesterday, we saw Abaye and Rava. The Gemara goes on to quote Abaye and Rava. So the next segment of the Torah Parnasa Sugya, the second segment is Abaye and Rava. Abaye says pretty clearly we follow Bishmal. People have tried Rishmal, learning and working together, and it works. People have tried Rabbi Shimon, just learning, no working. It didn't work out so. Rabbi Shimon himself famously did do this. That's the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel. Rabbi Shimon spent many years of his life in a cave. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously provided for him. There was a carob tree and there was a water, and he just sat under the sun. So he personally followed his shita. But Abaye says, we don't recommend it. That's not the way to go. And then we saw Rava actually told his Talmidim And my point that yesterday, important nakuda that Rava is adding, that you have to be wise about the way in which you structure your time. And sometimes you think you're going to chaperine, hypothetically speaking, and sometimes yeshiva bachan get into learning Leil Shishi, staying up much of Thursday night to learn. So sometimes it works out well, sometimes it doesn't work out well. Sometimes it depends on how far you push it, and depends on what your sleep cycle is like. So some people are able to Thursday night stay up till 3 in the morning, go to sleep, wake up for shacharis, and have a productive Friday. Okay? So with no chiyuv to stay up Thursday night, but if that appeals to you, and you can have a productive Friday and Shabbos, so there's what to discuss. But if staying up Thursday night means that Friday and Shabbos are all shot, and you're a zombie, and you don't get any learning done, and everything sort of, Ravos Hashem sort of takes a step down, so that's probably at Sasi Sahara to try to hop right an extra two, especially if those extra couple hours on Thursday night are spent more on eating chalent and schmoozing and very little on learning. Not that there's anything wrong with eating chalent and schmoozing. But if you're staying up for an extra couple hours and you're mostly learning a little bit of schmoozing on the side of development, you just stay up the extra couple of hours and basically schmooze, and then the whole Friday shots, that's obviously not a worthwhile trade-off. And that's what Rava says. That's what Rava says. That's not just a Musa Shmooze that you heard over the last couple of decades. It might be a Musa Shmooze you heard over the last couple of decades, and it's already a Musa Shmooze that Rava said. Rava said that's what Rava says. Rava says, this is Talmidim. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you're going to take off from the busy season on the farm, and you're going to come to yeshiva during Nisan or Tishrei, you're going to pay for it later. You're going to end up having to miss a lot more learning time to make up for the work that you missed. Just during Nisan and Tishrei, focus on work, and that way the rest of the month, the rest of the year, you'll be free to learn. Don't listen to Atzah Seitzara. Okay, so that's an added Moser Shmuz, and reinforcing that he expected his Talmidim to be both learning and working, like Rabbi Shmuel. We looked in the tour, and we saw that the Tur quoted our Gemara and the third segment of our Gemara as well. We saw that the Tur said that after in Kuftun Hay, after you're done davening, you go to learn, maybe have breakfast beforehand, you sit down and learn, and then after you learn, you go to work. Simen Kuftun Hay was learning, Simen Kuftun Vav was working, and in terms of how one works as a Jew, so the second major issue in Kuftun Vav is nasasa v'nasata be'emuna, to work honestly, to work in a way that doesn't involve dishonesty, it doesn't involve inappropriate speech, which includes taking shavuos unnecessarily, which includes being careful about being careful to structure any business or relationships with nachrim in a way that doesn't lead to them swearing by avodah zarah. That's sort of the second half of Kufin Vav. How to work as a Jew, and the first half of Kufnun Vav, how to work as a Jew, is that you're balancing that you are going to work. Working as a Jew, step number one, is you talk about work. But you do both learn and work. That's based on our Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel. That's based on the Stam Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. There's a statement in the beginning of the second Pirkei Avos that is not subject to debate over there. You learn and you work, and the combination of the two will keep you out of trouble. So we pass on like that Mishnah, we pass on like Rabbi Shmuel, that's what the Torah says. And the Torah goes on to quote the third segment of this Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan quotes from Rabbi Yehuda, a contemporary of Rabbi Shimon, who, by the way, also seems to have passed on like Rabbi Shmuel against Rabbi Shimon. That he said, yes, you should work for a living, and here's an added twist. An added twist is make sure you balance things properly. The Doros HaRishonim, they made their Torah Keva, and their Malacha Arai, they knew what was primary, what was secondary, and both worked well. Yehuda says, nowadays, Doros HaRishonim, nowadays people triage the wrong way, and they make the work the Ikar and learn the Tafel, and they have less Hatzlacha on both sides. That's what the Torah quotes. That's also Mishnah Avos, and that's also our sugya. Now, Shulchan Aruch, one word about Shulchan Aruch, I want to take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, and then he's going to get us into interesting waters. Number just in terms of, as always, the Shulchan Aruch follows the organization of the Torah. So here you see, Sukkur Fundalid,
is Hilchot Beis HaKnesses. Kufnun Hei is, as in the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch also, Lelechot Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMedrash, to go and after work, and talks about eating breakfast, and being Kaveh Starim, and taking your Kviyas Starim seriously, which is, so the Torah, it's not, I don't mean in any way to diminish the significance of a Musar Shmuz you hear from Mashgiach. Adrava, I mean to add to it. You might think, the Mashgiach said I have to be careful about Shmir Sazdarm. Shmir Sazdarm is not something that was invented 50 years ago. The Torah talks about when the Mashgiach is saying that, he's saying that because that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's what it says in the Torah in Shulchan Aruch. Sarach Sha'osa Eisi Yekavua, Shal Yaviren, Rafi Musar V'Lavi'ach Harbe. Don't give up your Starim just because you think there's an opportunity to make a buck. There will be situations, there are emergency situations, you have to break a seder, and you seek to make it up afterwards. That is, that's in the Shulchan Aruch. And then Simen Kuf Nun Vav. Kuf Nun Vav also writes, now just one thing you should know about Simen Kuf Nun Vav, he more or less quotes the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, you go to work, Torah Shekinim Malacha Sofa B'Telagar, Rezavam, so on and so forth, Rashi and Arsugya, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. I want you to just be aware before you move to the next step, which is Aruch HaShulchan. You see, here's the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Nun Vav. Here's a Magen Avraham, one of the major Perushim on the side of Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim. You turn the page, and the Magen Avraham is like an iceberg. The Magen Avraham takes over on the page. What does Magen Avraham have to say? You just file away for the future. File away for the future. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't have an official location to discuss Midos. All the issues of Tikkun HaMidos. So where do you find Tikkun HaMidos in Shulchan Aruch? So the Magen Avraham decided, and the Aruch HaShulchan followed him, Magen Avraham decided, here's the perfect place to discuss all the issues of Tikkun HaMidos, because here's where we're moving on to how you organize the rest of your day when you're not in Shul, not in Beis Medrash. That's what Simen Kuf Nun Vav is about. That after the Beis Medrash, you're going to head to work. What's the rest of life going to look like? That's not formally structured. So there are two places where the Aruch HaShulchan, where the Shulchan Aruch talks about it. The second one is Simen Reish Laman Alf. We'll get to it at some other point. But here in Kuf Nun Vav is the first of the two simanim about the quote-unquote secular part of your day. So Magen Avraham decided to quote all of Hilchas Deis, all of Hilchas Tikkun HaMidos, it's all here. He talks about Kinnah, he talks about Tzinnah, he talks about Gaiva, it's all something to bear in mind that Kuf Nun Vav is the address for that. Now, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan lived, he was an earlier contemporary of the Mishnah Berurah, he lived in the 1800s. He was a Rav in Nevardik, actually. He was very, as an aside, he was very, there was a town called Nevardik. It wasn't just a yeshiva. There were actually multiple yeshivas. There were at least two competing yeshivas in Nevardik. There was the one that's more famous to us because it was a Musar yeshiva, Rabbi Yozel of Nevardik, the Alter Nevardik. And then there was the other, more standard, mainstream yeshiva in Nevardik. There are a lot to talk about. Now is not the time. But fascinating and sometimes very curious history of the two yeshivas in Nevardik, and the involvement of the Rav of Nevardik, the Aruch HaShulchan, in those two yeshivas. I believe there's a fellow, Nebuch, killed in a terrorist attack a number of years ago, who put out a fascinating history of the Aruch HaShulchan. He documents his involvement in the Muslim movement, a lot of the Pulmas, the big machlokes among Litvish Rabbanim in the 1800s, whether to support the Muslim movement, not to support the Muslim movement. The Alter Nevardik had very extreme hanhagas, so many Rabbanim were very taken aback by that, and the Aruch HaShulchan defended him. There's a lot going on. But the Aruch HaShulchan, in addition to all, that's all another piece of the story. The Aruch HaShulchan was Rav Nevardik who sat and wrote a sefer, a freestanding sefer, Al Seder Tur and Shulchan Aruch, in which in every siman the simanim are the same, but he'll give you the whole run of the sugya. He'll start with the Gemara says this, and this Gemara says that, and these Rishonim say this, and those Rishonim that, and therefore the din is like Shulchan Aruch says this, and say, but the Shach says that, Magen Avraham says this, and I think maybe she's got that. Then he moves on. So he sort of gives you the whole hemshach of Tur Beis Shulchan Aruch all in one flowing work. So here he. Here he says, for now, let's take a peek at the very beginning. Seder Maso Matan, Uksas Mehilchas Deis. He gave me the title based on including the Magen Avraham, that this sim is going to be about the halachas of going to work as well as Midos, Deos. So, Zachar Geir Lasakav,
Kotar she'ini mamalacha sofa betel gerer zavim. Quotes the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, again originally quoting our sugya with Rashi and going back to the Mishnah Novos. Hanius ma'avinus ha'adam al daito adas kono. If you're not going to seek to be economically self-sufficient, you put yourself in a much, much greater risk of falling into chet. And then he says, Mishyesh lo umnus davar tovu. Good idea to have a craft. Chein amru to have a profession. Chein amru chazal b'kiddushin. Chayv adam l'lamedes b'na umnus. A brisa in Kiddushin, we referenced yesterday, one of the many fathers a chiyuv to make sure that his son has a mila, if need be, a pidyon haben, father's son a chiyuv to make sure that his son learns Torah, that his son get to enable his son to get married, and to make sure that his son is trained to be economically self-sufficient, to make sure his son is trained to earn money, to have a profession. That's Brisa there in Kiddushin. If you don't train your son to have an honest profession, so you're setting him up. You're setting him up to end up in dishonesty, in theft. He said many people, many people in 19th century look down on the idea of working for a living. They think, work for a living. This is what you mean. Kama tanoa v'arom, shayu balei melachos. What's embarrassing about working for a living? Many tanoa v'arom who worked for a living. Many tanoa v'arom who worked for a living. So where is he? Where is the Aruch HaShulchan rooted? Which Rishon did you see who makes the Aruch HaShulchan's point several centuries before him very, very forcefully? The Rambam. The Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Let's take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam is... The Aruch HaShulchan invites us to look at the Rambam. The Rambam is powerful and very, very curious. The Rambams are on this topic are in two different parts of Hilchos Talmud Torah. Parakal of Hilchos Talmud Torah, he introduces us to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He talks about who's chayiv and who's pater and teaching you. Actually, intriguingly begins with the issue of teaching your children before he even gets as much into learning oneself. Later in the parak, he begins to talk about the chayiv Talmud Torah. Take a look. If you saw... The Rambam says, everyone is chayiv in Talmud Torah. Kol ish mi Yisrael chayiv in Talmud Torah, bein ani, bein asher, bein shalom, begufim, bebal yisurim. Every Jew, certainly every Jewish male, is chayiv in Talmud Torah. So it doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or poor, it doesn't matter whether you're healthy or ill or infirm, but it doesn't matter whether you're old or young, bein bachar, bein shayiv, zokin, gol, shetashash kocho, might be a young yeshiva bachar, he might be 119 and a half years old. Even if Nebuchadnezzar, a person is reduced to collecting. His parnasa fell apart, his job fell apart, and he's supported by tzedakah. No matter what station in life you're in, you're mechuyev to learn. And then he says, interesting, afil bal isho banim, which is a wonderful bracha to have a family. It's a wonderful bracha. It's intriguing. That's like at the very end of his list. And even if you're a family man, you have a wife and you have children, and for the happiest and best of reasons, you're very, very busy. And those are Baruch Hashem, very time intensive. The greatest brachas that call on your time. Even so, no matter what's going on in your life, Chayiv l'kabal l'zman l'talmud Torah b'yom v'layla she'nemar v'hagisa bo yom v'layla. Giant. Where do you get that from? Our Gemara, Gemara Nadarim, Gemara in Menachos, quote, Hagisa b'yom v'layla, the zechiv k'viyas itlam Torah, we saw the Torah use that language, that is based on the point that kavati itlam Torah is based on the Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Aleph, the six questions that you ask, it says clearly that's a real chiv. You're absolutely, a Jew is mechuyev to sit and learn Torah, to have a zman kavua b'yom u'b'layla. That is a din. Halacha tes, he goes on to say, this is the line that the Aruch HaShulchan is quoting. Gedolei Chachmi Yisrael, some of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim of the ages. Hayu behem chot ve'etzim, mehem shovei mayim, mehem sumin. Some of them were woodchoppers. Some of them were vassar schleppers, water carriers. Who was famously a woodchopper? One of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim.
Hillel.
One of the Bali Masorah. And Hillel, what did he do for a living? He chopped wood. He spent a few hours a day chopping wood, selling wood. And the rest of the day he sat and learned. Some of them were blind. If Yosef was blind, if Shesh was blind. Difficult lives. They sat and learned. Now they sit and learn. Not only did they find time to learn, they were part of the core chain of Masorah. If you look back at the very beginning of this volume, before he starts Sefer Hamada, before he starts Hilchus Yisodia, Torah, and so forth, the Rambam has his famous, the 40 links in the chain, from the core line of Masorah, from Moshe Rabbeinu, learning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the way down to the end of the Tekufas HaGemara, until the Chasimas HaTalmud. He goes through the whole list. Rav Ashi learned from Rav, learned from Rav, learned from Rav Huna, learned from Rav Shmuel and Rechen, and so on and forth, from Yehuda and Asi, all the way through to Ezra, to Baruch, to Yirmiah, to Micha, to Yeshaya, to Amos, to Hoshea, and so forth, all the way back to Yoshua, back from Moshe Rabbeinu and Piyagvur. On that line is Hillel. Hillel is right there. Heiro Bechal Matike Ashmua. In the highest sense of the term, they were core parts of the chain of Masorah. We look at these names, you know, we haven't met these people. We meet them, as the Rav famously said, that Pina Bendrash, you meet them in the Beis Medrash. You start learning, all of a sudden we're in conversation across the generations. But we don't know what they looked like. We don't know how they dressed. We don't know what they how they spent their day. So the Rav says you should know that there's a lot going on in the lives of even the greatest of Talmidei Chachamim. They didn't lead perfect, simple lives. Some of them had great personal disabilities. They were blind. Some of them had very, very taxing, draining, and menial, call a spade a spade, menial jobs. Hillel was a wood chopper. It was not the most prestigious of jobs. And also, no doubt, physically, very, very, very draining. Physically very taxing, and not only did they make time to learn, they became the greatest of Talmidei Chachamim. Not only the highest caliber of Talmidei Chachamim, they were part of the core chain of Masorah. Then the Rambam goes on, so that's, and then the Rambam goes on to Halacha Yud, and it says, the Chi of Talmud Torah is for your entire life. Ad Emasai, Perak Af Halacha Yud, Ad Emasai Chayv Adam Luma Torah, Ad Yom Oso. The Chi of to learn your entire life. You do not only have a chiyuv to learn Torah dynamically in Shana Aleph or La Mahadrin Shana Bet, you do have a chiyuv to learn this year and next year and the year after. Mitzvah Shem HaKadosh Baruch should give each of you many decades on this planet. That means that HaKadosh Baruch expects each of us to be learning dynamically and growing for many years and many decades. And then the Rama goes on to quote a Gemara in Kiddushin about how you divide your time, how you allocate time among different parts of learning, to divide your time between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh, between Ian and Bekiyas, Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. And the way the Rambam understands that means every day, not everyone agrees, so the Rambam says, famously, he says, so what does that look like? The Lach Yud Beis. Hayabal Umnas, so you have a job, and you're a craftsperson, so you're an electrician, you're a plumber, you're a glazier, whatever it is. So you show up to work 3 hours a day, or you made partner in a law firm, and a lot of the chevra at this point in their career, senior partners, they're already spending 30, 40 hours golfing. Depends on different firms and different cultures. So you have time. So you're showing up, he says, let's say you're showing up to work 3 hours a day, so you have the other 9 hours left to learn. He discusses how you're going to divide the other 9 hours into three siddurim, one seder in mikra, one seder in mishnah, and one seder in Talmud. Again, on the assumption that, obviously, you're working and you're learning. That Aruch HaShulchan is obviously rooted in Perek Aleph. Now, you should know that in Perek Gimel, the Rambam comes back to this topic. How many people saw it around Perek Gimel? Show of hands. Around Perek Gimel. I would have made copies. Around Perek Gimel. That's where he really goes to town. Around Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud. What? Maybe in Hilchos HaMatar. There are Rambam Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud, he says, if a person thinks he's going to learn and not work for a living, you're going to support yourself from I live on staka, that I could just sit and learn, I don't have to worry about working, let someone else take care of me. Rambam says, what would you say about that? Where are we going from here?
What?
Where are we going from here? What's Ram say? He says, "Harei zechilas Hashem."
Yeah.
ubizas haTorah, the chava maor hadas, the garm ra laatzmo, the natal chayev min haolam haba. It's hard to say things that are much sharper than that. It says Sechil Hashem, it's a bizayin haTorah. You're extinguishing the glow of our religion, which is a reference to the Gemara and Kiddushin, and Ma'or Shabbat Machzir Lamutav. If a person does that there, but he learns Torah, the light within Torah will bring it back. He says, but you're pointing out the light of the Torah. You're being mevaz of the Torah. You're causing ra for yourself, and you're jeopardizing your Olam Haba. Whoa. Sha'asar lehanas b'divrei Torah ba'olam hazeh. He references a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, later Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, not to make divrei Torah kardom lachbarbo. Not to make divrei Torah a shovel with which to dig. Don't use Torah as your means of making parnasa. And indeed, the Rambam is very, 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 very strong about this. The Rambam was vehemently.
Rabba?
The Rambam, Maimonides, was vehemently opposed. Was vehemently opposed to being paid, not only being paid to sit and learn, even being paid to teach, being paid to be a Rebbe, or a Rosh Hashiva, or a Rav. The Rambam was very, very opposed to that. The Rambam was a Rosh Hashiva when he came to Cairo, and the Rambam traveled around a lot. He began in Cordoba in Spain, and then that when the Almohads, this Islamist group, we're coming to it. The Rambam had to, with his family, as a young man, had to flee with his father and much of the family. They fled southward to Morocco, then made their way across North Africa. They ended up briefly in Eretz Yisrael and came back and ultimately settled for much of his life in Egypt. While he was in Egypt, so famously later in life, he worked as a physician and he spent a few hours at the Sultan's palace, and then he spent a few hours seeing non-royal patients. One of the letters the Rambam writes at that point in his life, later when he was a doctor, so by the time he was done with his medical practice for the day, he was so exhausted that he had a Tesla. He had a 12th century Tesla. They said, the Rambam writes that they would put him on his donkey. He was too exhausted to walk. He was so wiped out from working, they would put him on a donkey, and the donkey would just take him. The donkey knew the way, the donkey would just take him home. So the first autonomous self-driving vehicle. Earlier in his life, when he was younger, but already in Fostat, in Cairo, he had a yeshiva. He became very quickly recognized as the leading Talmud Chacham of that part of the world, particularly of Egypt. So he was definitely recognized as the Rav of Cairo, a job for which he was not paid. And he had a yeshiva for many years in Cairo, where I think the higher shir learned Gemara, the lower shir learned Rif. For that, he was also not paid. And he made his living by teaching Aristotelian philosophy at the University of Cairo. Because apparently the Rambam, to answer the ancient Torah Mada question, the Rambam saw value in studying philosophy, but did not think that philosophy was Torah. And therefore he refused to be paid to learn, to teach Torah, but he was willing to be paid to teach Greek philosophy. And again, later in life he worked as a doctor. So in Shulchan Aruch, it is a mission in Pirkei Avos, not to make divrei Torah takar dam lachbarbo. So there's a big machlokas harishonim, a big machlokas harishonim about how far you take it. The Rambam took it all the way. Said absolutely no room whatsoever to be paid to learn. Most rishonim disagree. Most rishonim assume that depending on the situation, or may or may not be appropriate to be to work on a gemara nedarim and others. It may or may not be appropriate to be paid to teach. The standard approach in Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch against the Rambam is that you're allowed to take schar batala, meaning I can be paid to make myself available. I could be working as an actuary, I could be working in Pricewaterhouse and making $450,000 a year. Instead, you want me to not work at Pricewaterhouse, so I'm available to teach Torah, so I'm available to pass the Shailos. So as most Rishonim say, you can't pay me my per hour salary, but you can pay me how much would a person be willing to be paid to not work, to keep themselves free. It's called schar batala. My father-in-law points out that you're appropriate schar batala probably depends on what your earning power otherwise would be. If I could be billing $1,100 an hour, so then my schar batala is going to be a couple hundred dollars an hour. But if my only other work options, because you're paying me to not take that job, but if the only thing I could do is something that pays $30 an hour, if I would go to work, I'd get paid $30 an hour. So how much are I willing to be paid to not go to work? 20, 15, 10? Obviously, your schar batala is commensurate. It's not the same as, but it's going to be correlated. It's going to be commensurate to how much, what your earning power could be. What am I giving you? You're asking me to not do that other job, instead keep myself free to be able to be available to the tzibur for limud Torah and so forth. And Rambam goes on to talk about the value of being misparnes mi ma'ase yadav. Ma'ala gedola l'mishu misparnes mi ma'ase yadav. Okay. So this is Rambam Perek Gimel, as we saw, let's just recap, because things are about to get complicated. Let's just recap. What do we see? The Aruch HaShulchan invite us to look at a Rambam. We saw Rambam both in Perek Aleph and in Perek Gimel was very clear that not only that he paskins like Rabbi Shmuel, that was very, very clear in Perek Aleph, that he joins the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch and Abai and Rava and Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah and Avos and paskins like Rabbi Shmuel against Rabbi Shimon. Not on that, we saw again Perek Aleph, Halachas Ches and Tes. A Jew is mechuyev to learn. He's ambitious about learning. And part of the Rambam's ambition about learning is that you're not going to get paid for the learning. You're going to learn and you're going to work. So Rambam is very, very strong on both. Yeah, question.
Within the Rambam, is he specifically talking about a Rebbe who like just comes and gives a shiur on Gemara? Like, at least for us in high school, a lot of the time Rebbeim are not just coming in to teach us Gemara. They're teaching us, a lot more than just that. They're teaching us Musar, how we should.
If they're teaching you Arabic and teaching you Akkadian, teach you Mada in the middle of the Shir, so you get paid, like the Ram, you get paid to teach the Mada. The Api Pashtas, again, you always ask about the Ram, you ask Halacha
Al Maisa. We don't know about the Ram anyway, but,
Machmirim should be machmir for their own. I think Rav Sabato of Male Adumim, I was told, throughout all his decades as a Rebbe and Male Adumim, an incredible anav, even though he's one of the founding, essentially Rosh Yeshiva. He refused to be called Rosh Yeshiva, and he, I think, tried to refuse to be called Rosh Yeshiva. He's insisted on giving the Shir Aleph Shir all the, for many, many years. And my understanding is that he also doesn't want to be paid to be a Rebbe. He puts a number of hours every week as a librarian in the yeshiva's Otzer HaSfarim. He's the Gabbai Sfarim, essentially. He keeps everything organized, and he's willing to be paid for doing that work. So if you teach Torah, you're also a guidance counselor. Or you teach Torah and you also teach calculus, Mashu Kazah. You teach Torah and you're a gym teacher. You teach Torah and you teach psychology. So if you keep mavli everything in the non Talmud Torah part, that may work. That may have to do also with how much you're being paid.
If it's within the role as a Rebbe to be like someone of a life mentor, then would you be allowed to be paid to be that kind of
mentor? Maybe to be a guidance counselor. But to the extent that's the Rambam has strong things to say also actually about being paid to be a doctor. So you just have to figure out how to maneuver that.
Ironic.
Yeah, it is ironic. You know what else is ironic? Who here saw the Rambam in the end of Shemitah Yovel? Okay. I was hoping the numbers would be even higher. The Rambam at the very end of Hilchos Shemitah, listen to the following. Rambam says, the very end of Shemitah V'Yovel, he's talking about some of the halachas that are unique to Kohanim and Levim. The Shevet Levi doesn't get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. That's the main topic of the last parak of Sefer Zeraim, Shemitah V'Yovel Perek Yergimel. That Shevet Levi doesn't get farmland in Eretz Yisrael. There are halachas of the Ari HaLevim. says the he writes halacha of war here at the end in Perek Yud Halacha Yud that they don't get when Klal Yisrael, some depending on the sort of war, sometimes it's appropriate to hold on to what you the items, the assets that you capture, and sometimes not. So, but when it is, Chelek Shevet Levi usually doesn't get a Chelek. And then the Rambam goes on to say in the penultimate halacha, the second last halacha in Sefer Zeraim, that's Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Yud Beis, he explains why is it that Levi, Shevet Levi doesn't get a chelek in the farmland of Eretz Yisrael, doesn't get a chelek in the booty and the biza, if they shuhuv da lavras Hashem ul sharso. Lahoros drachav ayishar mishpatav tzadikim l'rabim, because he's meant to teach Torah. That's where they're huvdu l'midarchei ha'olam. They don't go to war in the same way. They don't get farmland in the same way. They're Chel Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's army. They're often not drafted. Sometimes they are drafted. Sometimes they're not, depending on what sort of war it is. And then the Rambam says, the very last paragraph in Shemitah V'Yovel, HaPerek Yigim, he says, it's not just Shevet Levi. Lo Shevet Levi Bilvad. You don't have to be genial. That's very interesting. The category we have here. A Shevet Levi sits and learns and teaches Torah and doesn't work for a living in a normal fashion. It isn't part of the same economic system that everyone else is. They're not set up to be farmers. And they're not as involved in war. They're not as involved in the economic fruits of war. Shevet, up until now, all the other halachas and Sefer Zeraim, Trumas and Maisers and so on and so forth, Levi means you're descended from Levi ben Yaakov. A Kohen means you're specifically descended from Aaron HaKohen ben Amram. But now the Rambam says this last element of the unique status of Shevet Levi being generally less involved in standard economic activity, you don't have to be genealogically a Levi. It has nothing to do with biology. It has nothing to do with pedigree. Nothing to do with Yichus. V'lo Shevet Levi v'vad, not just Shevet Levi. Kol ishu ishmi yisrael, mikol bai ha'olam. Any man, of all those who come to the world, almost sounds like he's talking not only about all Jews, but even about all non-Jews, hard to know. Ashed nadva rucho oso, if he's volunteered, havino madal li badalam of Hashem, he has the wisdom and the insight to separate himself, to stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam, to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, l'deyas Hashem, to learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, niskadish kodesh kadashim. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him what he needs, like a Kohen, like a Levi. The final, every single one of the 14 Sfarim of the Rambam, he ends with Divrei Agada. And here's the Divrei Agada that end Sefer Zeraim. Lo Shevet Levi Bilvad, the very famous line. Lo Shevet Levi Bilvad. So what does Rambam say? Everybody say? Very, very stirring poetry. What would you say as a Lamdan? In context?
If you learn Hashem automatically.
Yeah. So, what do you say about that?
He's contradicting
himself. A steer, Mamash, a steer in Rambam's. The last halacha in Shemit of Yovel, Rambam says, anyone can volunteer, sit and learn Kailo. Lo Shevet Levi Bilvad. You want to volunteer, go for it. If you elevate yourself, you separate yourself, and you step up to this unique opportunity, you become an honorary Kohen and Levi. Not that you can eat truma or bikurim, not that you can do a vonu beis hamikdash, but that you're not going to work for a living, that Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. Beferish. Rambam Shemitah V'Yovel, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Gimel. Don't take my word for it. It was in the Maror Mekayimus. If you didn't see it this morning, you'll see it this afternoon, you'll see it tomorrow. Beferish. And meanwhile, the whole thrust of Perek Aleph and Perek Gimel in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Rambam is very, 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 very clear. Again, Rambam was the one who was the most extreme among the Rishonim in terms of not being willing to even be paid to teach. Forget about not having a job at all. Ma Pesher Hadvarim. So that's massive caution number one. Now we're just eating Rambam's. Same Rambam. Paragal, Paragimel, Hilchot Talmud Torah is very clear. You got to work for a living. And to be clear, he is not advocating in Hilchot Talmud Torah, he is not advocating mediocrity in any which way. It should be very clear that in Hilchot Talmud Torah, the Rambam repeatedly talks about having great and dynamic ambition in growing as a Talmud Chacham throughout your lifetime. It was in that context that he said, you need to be dynamically ambitious in learning, and part of that picture is, and on the side, you have a job. And you work for a living, you're self-sufficient. But then you come to Shemitah V'Yovel, Yigimel, and he says, you know, you want to be a regular guy who is a learner-earner, that's fine. But you want to be a Halakid and sit and learn Kail, that's the best. So it's Mamash, a steer in Rambam's. Min HaKotza El HaKotza. Yeah, what do you say?
It really sounds like you say that, like, yeah, the Shiva Levi is like a special thing where they don't go to war and they learn. And if you want to volunteer yourself to learn, it will not come at a loss to you. That it's not like he's saying just learn and don't work. He's saying that if you're working and you volunteer to the Shiva Levi to learn, like, you
will
be affected negatively, which kind of
goes with the back. Yeah, but he seems to be saying here that Yizakalo Ba'om Hazed, you just sit and learn, HaKadosh Baruch will take care of you. You're onto something. We need to push a little further. I see another kasha. As we saw in the towards the end, deep into the first pair of Kiddushin, in the sugis of Talmud Torah and Umdus, and the Chiyuvim of a father towards the son, as we already saw quoted. The Gemara says that you have to. One of the chiyuvim is ulam to umnas. That was a brisa. That was a brisa on chaf. Tes amad aleph. And one of the chiyuvim of father's son is ulam to umnas. And the Gemara talks about an lamed amad beis. There's a machlokas hatana about the details, Tanakam of Yehuda, the Gemara says, the machlokas by the details is, can you just set up your kid to run a business? Sai Sims. Well, run a business, rather than giving him a craft or a profession. He's just going to buy and sell and trade. So that's a machlokas hatana, and whether, as a father, have you fulfilled your obligation just by setting your kid up to run a business, which, as we know, can bring a tremendous amount of money, also as a greater chance, a greater risk of failing entirely. If you have a profession, if you have a trade, so then you're less likely to become a millionaire, you're also less likely to go broke. So that was the machlokas, Tanakam of Yehuda. That's the Gemara says, Kiddushin of Lama Beis, is a father bin Yotze is chiv just by training his son to run a business? Or no, you have to give him something that's more reliable. He decides he wants to run a business because it's a date, but maybe the father has the chiv to make sure that his son has be a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, something that's more reliable. So that again accords with what we saw in Brachas Lamed Hey. However, yeah.
I think maybe there's a difference between a craft and running a business in effect, not from your father or the son's point of view, from society's point of view. I mean, someone who like a merchant who only buys and resells things, they don't really create anything for society.
Ah.
Whereas someone who has a craft like
it's very Jeffersonian of you. Thomas Jefferson was famously very opposed to the stock jobbers who don't create any value. So again, that's a fascinating conversation to have, and there are a lot to say about whether or not you think that the CEOs do or don't add value to society. It's a fascinating debate to have. I'm not sure it's for now. It's interesting to wonder whether that's what the Gemara is angling at. I don't think, if you got to take a look inside. Take a look inside Lama Beis. The impression you get there, I mean, the Gemara doesn't say much. What the Gemara does say is, Rabbi Yehuda, the Diak, Rabbi Yehuda said, if you don't teach him omnis, it's as though you taught him listus. It's as though you taught him to be a ganav. So the Gemara says, well, isn't he just repeating what Tanakhama said? You have to teach him umnas. So what's Rabbi Yehuda adding? So the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yehuda's adding has to be specifically umnas as opposed to agmarei iska, as opposed to just teaching him to run a business, to be a merchant. Now, the context is the concern of he's going to end up in listas. He's going to end up not self-sufficient and therefore getting himself into trouble. Rashi makes that point. Rashi says on Lamed Beis that the iska is more likely, there's a greater risk of an iska not working out, and then you're stranded without parnasa, you may end up turning to a life of dishonesty. But it'll be interesting to see if other Rishonim and Kedushin Lama Beis have a different take. The context sounds like it's more of a question of, you know, responsibility for one's child's financial stability. But the larger question is interesting also. The problem is, Briskrav points out, you look at the Mishnah at the very end, the last Mishnah in Kiddushin. We start learning Hilchas Yichud, which is Daf Pei and Pei Aleph. And on the top of Pei Beis, the second Mishnah on Pei Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah starts talking about work and different professions and things to think about when you career choice. What are some factors to consider? Umnuskala, Umnus Nakia, Sneas, and so on and so forth, all sorts of different issues. And the Tanai Rabbi Meir says the Olam Yilamed Adam Es Beno Umnus Nakia V'Kala. You have to teach your child a clean and relatively easy profession. V'Yispalel Misha Osher Nachas Mishalal, and you have to daven to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Ultimately, wealth or power will come from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Meir goes on to say, but we have to do our shtadlus. You have to train your child. Make sure your child is set up to work. And then you got a daven. The problem is, the Gemara later on says, the Mishnah later on says, Rabbi Naharoi said, Ani eini melames b'ni ela Torah. I disagree, I'm just gonna teach my kid Torah. No work. What you say is a machlokas, except as Briskra points out, the Gemara elsewhere says, Rabbi Naharoi, what does Nahora mean? Nahora is Aramaic for? Nahora is Aramaic for? Light, L-I-G-H-T, or. Nahora is Aramaic for or. The Gemara tells us elsewhere that Rabbi Nahoroi is a nickname for someone whose Hebrew name meant light. Rabbi? Meir. Rabbi Nahoroi is a nickname for Rabbi Meir. So Biskarov says, I don't understand. She says, aren't they the same person? So, how did that happen? So the steer in Rambam's, the steer in Meir's. The Meir in the same Mishnah says you have to teach your child a profession and daven hard. And then a couple lines later, under an alias, Rabbi Nahorai, he says, I'm only teaching my child Torah. do as I say, not as I do? What's going on here? And it's steer in Rambam's. What's going on? So Biskarov, in his Sefer on Chumash, the first piece of Chayasara, addresses these kashas. And he says something fascinating. He says, well, the Briskarov, Velvel Soloveitchik, in the Sefer on Chumash. Not the notes on Chumash, his Sefer on Chumash, Chedusha Marin Riz Alevi on Chumash. There's a big Sefer he has on Rambam, there's a little Sefer on Chumash. The first piece in Chayesara, Briskarov says, he believes that he heard the name of the Gra. That the source for that Rambam, the difficult Rambam in Shemitah V'Yovel, goes back to our Gemara. Where does it come from, our Gemara? He says, read the Gemara carefully. Go back to, everyone has a brachas, lam, and ham, and beis open in front of them. What did Abaye say? I asked, we had a machlokas atam, and how do we paskin? So we saw a lot of Maran Mekomas, there's how we paskin. We saw Rava, and we saw Rabbi Yehuda, we saw Pirkei Avos, and we saw Tur, Shulchan Aruch, Achar Shulchan, Rambam. What was the very first marker we saw in terms of how we're Machriya, the Machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Shimon? Well, the very first marker was, who? Who spoke to us about that first? Which Amora? Abaye. What did Abaye say? Take a look inside. Innovating, Chevra. Reinkuk and innovating. Take a look inside. Amar Abaye. Harbe Asu, Rabbi Shmuel, the also Beyadan. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the low, Elsa, the Yadon. Abaye says what? What did Abaye say? Gra said, yes, to Medaik. What did Abaye say? What did he say? How do you translate those words? Right. Many followed Rishmol, and it worked out. Many followed Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and it failed. Says the Gra, that's a funny way to put it, just say. How Yishmael? Say, Yishmael works, Shimon Bar Yochai doesn't work. Well, it's a harbe. We're getting very dramatic here. So the Gra said, the poor, what's the diuk? The Gra said that the Rama was medayik. Many people did like Yishmael, and it works well. Many people did like Shimon Bar Yochai, did not work well, meaning there will be a small myriad of people for whom Rishon Mechai can work. But it's not going to work. This is not a mass approach. That's how the Gra understood the Rambam. He says, the Rambam Hilchas Talmud Torah is quoting Rabbi Shmuel. Could we pass him like Rabbi Shmuel? The Rambam at the end of Shmita Yovel is saying, he made it very clear, this is not something that's suggested for everyone, but there will be people who are going to step up to this level of Shem Baruch Hai. If you think you can pull it off, because I'm dead. Now, it should be noted, and that's what he was saying, sorry, and the Brit Scribe goes on to say, says, the Gra, I heard B'Shem of the Gra, that's the terrors to the Stira and Rambam, and the Brit Scribe says, I would apply that also to the Stira and Reb Meir, Rabbi Nehoroi. The answer is, he said, what's the din? The din is, Adam as Nakia. But my child, I know my kid. My kid, this is appropriate. This is not something that's meant to be a standard approach. There'll be individual, specific individual, rare individuals for whom the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai approach, is appropriate. Now, it's important also to read carefully what the Rambam actually says in Shmita V'Yovel. Because what he says is, and let's say a Jew decides that he wants to volunteer, to step up, to enlist in Shevet Levi. So he says you have a Jew who decides, who's inspired and elevated, Nadva Ruchoi, he wants to volunteer, Hevino Ma'adal Libadel Avodot Ne'Hashem, he has added insight, he wants to dedicate himself to Avodot Hashem, L'deyas Hashem, to knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'holach Yashar K'mo Sha'aso Elokim, he walks straight as HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him, that's a reference to Pasuk in Koheles, U'farak Me'al Tzavar, here's a key line, U'farak Me'al Tzavaro, Ol HaKeshbonos HaRabim, Asher Bikshu B'nei HaAdam. And he throws off of his neck the yoke of the many cheshbonos that people make. So he says, then I can discuss Kodesh Kodashim, Kodesh Baruch Hu will take care of him, Davar Maspik Lo Kamosh Zika Lo Kohar Mulevim. So here's a key diuk to make. The Rambam is saying that there is an option, so you could volunteer, it's not something that's widely advocated. There will be rare Jews for whom it makes sense to volunteer for the Rav Shem Bar Yochai approach. The Rav Shem Bar Yochai approach, what's your plan in the Rav Shem Bar Yochai approach? Who's going to support you?
Your wife?
No. That's exactly the point. He doesn't say you're not relying on any human being. You're not making any cheshbonos. Once you're cheshboning them, want to marry a girl whose father's going to support me, you just disqualified yourself from the Rambam. That's not Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. This is not an argument in favor of quote unquote not having a plan. When nowadays not having a plan means there's an assumption that someone else is going to take care of me. This is saying, about the Rebbe, so it's like Mamash, like, you know, Mamash HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of me. I have no expectation of any other human being taking care of me. Here's how you learn a Rambam. As opposed to, you go back to the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah, where the Rambam had railed in Perek Gimel against a person who's going to sit and learn and what? When he said it's a chil Hashem, it's a bizarre, it's terrible. He had said, "Kol meisim alibo, anyone who plans." Sheyasod b'Torah, he's going to learn Torah. V'lo yasa malach, and he's not going to work for a living. V'yis paranes me'atztaka. His plan is people will support me. His plan is tzedakah will support me. Says what your tzedakah is for people who nebuch have no options. A person's physically disabled, emotionally disabled, or he had a job that didn't work out, and he's down on his luck. Whatever, unanticipated expenses, and despite his best efforts. He's trying to be as responsible as he can. And Nebuch, he has a need. There was a tragic accident. Nebuch, there's a need. That's what Staka is meant for. The Rambam here says, Staka is not meant for you to choose to be Matel Atzma Al-Tibur, which he talks about in the Halachas of Staka as well. Very, very sharp terms. So he says, even if you decide to be Matel Atzma Al-Tibur, I'm not matzal asmi atzibur stam because I want to go on vacation. Not because I'm lazy. I'm not lazy at all. I want to sit and learn 18 hours a day. How am I going to sit and learn 18 hours a day? Tzedakah will provide for me. So Ram says, that's terrible. To plan that tzedakah will provide for me so that I can sit and learn, that's what the Rambam says in Parag Gimel Achiyot in Hilchos Talmud Torah. That's a Chilul Hashem. And you're disgracing Limud Torah. Not everyone agrees with the Rambam, but that is clearly what the Rambam says. Masha Eino Kein in Shemitah V'Yovel, the plan is not that tzedakah will support me. The plan is not that the Shver will support me. The plan is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will support me. I mean that for real. The Mamish No Cheshbonis. That's a very, very rare Madrega. Okay? Let's talk a very rare Madrega. This is not something that is being advocated for the Rav. And the Brisker Rav himself, no one can fault the Brisker Rav, to stop for a moment, no one can fault the Brisker Rav for not being sufficiently Yeshivish. The Brisker Rav points out that's exactly what the Pshat is Reb Meir and Reb Nehoroi. Reb Meir himself, who felt that he had one particular child who he felt was appropriate for this Mahalach, but he did not advocate this for the Rabbim. The Psak, the general Psak, Reb Meir gave him the same Mishnah, was everyone has to train their kids to work for a living, just to learn and to work. There will be rare people for whom Mamish, extraordinary Madrega of reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know the joke about the guy and a girl dating, and the father sits down to talk to the boy. I have to worry about the practicalities of life, and then afterwards his wife says, "Nu, how was it?" He says, "Amazing. He thinks I'm God." So what do you mean? He says, every time I ask him, "So how are you going to make parnasa?" I say, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide." So he thinks the Shver is God. That's good. All okay. But the joke captures a certain truth. The Rambam is talking about someone who authentically, genuinely, like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai himself, going back to his own life, Shabbos Daf Lama Gimel in the cave, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was not relying on his wife to support him. He wasn't relying on anyone else to support him. He ran to a cave, and there was the mamash with miracles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nisim Nistarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Taka provided for his very basic needs for years and years and years. In the Chanamis, the Rambam is saying that if a person is such a Baal Madrega, that he's, as again, that's the key, the money line, no pun intended there, but the money line is in the Rambam, in Shemitah V'Yovel, is Parak Me'al Tzavaro O HaCheshbonos HaRabim, which again is part of the Rambam's quote from a pasuk in Koheles. It presumably means two things. Number one, that means that he intends to live a very simple lifestyle. He doesn't have incredible clarity about the difference between wants and needs. And it means that he has no expectation that any other human being is going to support him.
So will happen if Hashem supports him?
Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Taka found a tree growing in the cave, and found a spring of fresh water, and he was okay with living off of carob and water for many, 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 many years. There certainly are Jews who genuinely porkim al tzavareim ol cheshbon tzavareim, and you live very simply, and things work out. Maybe, money in a legitimate, honest way, money comes your way, money that you're not seeking. Okay, but that's a very rare, that's the approach of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Again, and what the Gra quotes, the Brisker Rav in Chayesara quotes in the Gra, is that is how the Rambam understood Abaye's comment. I take this back to yesterday. What was the hachra? How do we paskin? Abaye was the first one to say how we paskin. So according to the Gra's reading of the Rambam, Abaye was saying a nuanced psak. Abaye was saying, generally paskin like a Rishmal, there may be rare Jews who will elect to follow the Reb Shimon Bar Yochai approach in its
in its fullness and in its authentic fashion. There is a lot to say here in general about the nature of the Chi of Talmud Torah, which is a related topic, not exactly the same topic. I wanted a lot to say. There's a Gemara Nedarim, and then a Ran, and a Gemara Menachas, and Ar Samach. I want for now just to wrap up this discussion of Talmud Torah and Parnassa with a very brief look at the nature of the Chi of Talmud Torah by looking at two Maramukamos, and I'll leave you with a cliffhanger for the next of you. A Bach and a Rambam. The Bach you have in front of you, everyone does have in front of them. The Bach is on the side of the tour. The Beis Yosef is on the Rashi position on the inside of the tour. We can see the Beis Yosef's, the Yosef Karo's Maramukamos on the tour. On the outside, the Tosfos position on the tour is the Bais Chadash. We come across him first because we have his Hagos and Girsos of the Gemara. But that Hagos, Habach, on the side of the Gemara are his most well-known work, but it's not his largest or most significant work. Probably he wrote Chubas, he wrote plenty. It's probably his most widely used sefer is the Bayis Chadash, which is why he's called the Bach. His name wasn't Bach, his name was a non-Jew whose name last name was Bach. But when we Lahavdil, we talk about the Bach, we don't mean Johann Sebastian Bach, we mean Rav Yoel Sirkis, who lived in the 1600s, one of the great Talmid Chachamim of the late 1500s, early 1600s. His name was Yoel Sirkis, named for his mother or grandmother was Sarah, Sirka. That's why he's called Sirkis, Yoel Sirkis. And he wrote a sefer on the side of the Torah called the Bayis Chadash. He became known for his sefer, and we abbreviate Bayis Chadash into Bach. And that's why his Hagos of Yoel Sirkis on the side of the Gemara are referred to as Hagos HaBach. But this is his famous sefer, is the Bayis Chadash. In the Bayis Chadash, on the side, and the Beis Yosef tends to give more Maramukamos, basic meat and potatoes, Gemara Rishonim. The Bach tends to be Mefalpel more. In Yerideya, on Shulchan Aruch, the Shach tends to follow the Beis Yosef's approach and gives you meat and potatoes, Gemara Rishonim. And the Bach's son-in-law, the Taz, follows his father-in-law's style. The Bach didn't start the tour, the Taz doesn't start Shulchan Aruch. Maramukamos, but also Pilpulim. So the Bach here introduces, just in thinking about the Chi of Talmud Torah, he suggests, he says, the Torah said, Chol Torah she'ima molacha sofa b'tel gerazavim. Torah without any malacha is going to lead you into trouble. He says, the Torah didn't quote the other half of the Mishnah. Yafa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, to have a blend of Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz. And there's a famous machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Elchanan, when you have an im, A, im, B, which one is the Iker? Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that if I say I want to have milk with my cereal, so presumably that means that the cereal is the Iker, you can have some milk with your cereal. So Rabbeinu Tam says in general, say A, I want X in Y, means Y is the Iker, which means that Yafa Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz sounds like you should have some learning with your work. So he says, so the Bach says that the Torah didn't quote that half of the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, because he says the Mishnah Pirkei Avos is really giving two different models, putting aside Rabbi Shimon. Within Rabbi Yishmael, there are two different models, whether it's Torah Iker or Malacha Iker. And he says, depends what you're doing for a living. He says, you see, in the beginning of the narrow lines, he points to Gemara Erevin Nunei, Lo Me'evra, Gemara Erevin says, Lo Me'evra Yami, Lo Simsa Tar B'Tagarim. So the person travels a lot on business. The person is a very, very, very labor-intensive job. So he's not going to, he has a chiv to learn also, but he's not going to be able to learn as much. And he may not reach the same heights in terms of ambition as Talmud Chacham. Aleihem Amar, the Bach says, Yafa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz is Iker, the Torah is Tafel. But you have to make sure to have a blend of the two. You're working for a living, and you manage to find an hour a day to learn, you fit it in, and that way
that you're being Makayim Talmud Torah, and you're plugging the holes so that you don't have a dead time where, what's the English expression? Idle fingers do the devil's work. And you have too much time on your hands, you sometimes get yourself into trouble. So Mishnah says, you're busy with working, you're busy with learning, in addition to working and learning, both which are mitzvahs, it will also will deprive you of the time that might deprive the Yitzhahara of the downtime that he can use to get you into trouble. But then the Bach goes on to say, the Kas Acheres, the other group, the other model, is Lomdei Torah V'Yoshim V'Vesam. Someone who's sitting and learning, and in his house. What does that mean? HaTorah Etzlam O'Iker. For him, Torah is the Iker. Amar Aleihem, the Chol Torah She'inim HaMelacha, Sofa B'Teil L'Ger HaZavon. You're learning a lot. But if there isn't some work mixed in there also, you're going to get yourself into trouble. Because, and that's what the Torah quotes, because Zutzav Shiz Paneiz B'Melacha V'Yosh B'Vesim Osik B'Torah. You're not traveling as much. That's Givaldic. So you're able to have more time to learn and still work. And he says, Rabbeinu Medaber Kan B'Kazu. The Torah is talking about the more ideal model. Yoshim Veveson. You're sitting at home. He's sitting at home as opposed to constantly, jumping on a boat to go to India on business, as the Rambam's brother David did. So you're a home buddy. You're staying close to home. So but notice the model that's more set up for success in Talmud Torah doesn't include not working. Also, that also includes working. But what sort of work are you doing? You have a local job. You go to work. You come home every night. Either malacha. I'm not sure if by malacha he means an umnus, a craft, perhaps. Obishara sakin kigon ribis. You deal in money. You're a money lender. It takes you back to a certain period in history. When that was, by Christian regulation, that was a job that many Jews got pushed into. With lending money baribis to Christians. But he says, whether you're involved in omnus or whether you're involved in finance, to use our terminology, so you are working. That's why the Bach says the Torah only quoted the second half of the Mishnah. Because he says that's the Bach argues. That's for someone who has more flexible times. He's able to put a lot of time to learning, and he needs to also work for a living. Sometimes if someone whose only available job is something that's incredibly time-consuming, incredibly time-intensive, so he's going to also seek to be kaveh time for learning, but it's not going to be as much. The Aruch HaShulchan picks up on this, although I don't think he explicitly quotes the Bach. Going back to Aruch HaShulchan, Ozbeis, Lo Yase Malachto Iker V'Taraso Arai, Kufnun Vav Ozbeis in the Aruch HaShulchan, so you have to make the Torah the Keva. And he says, when we said that, which the Torah had also quoted from the end of the Mishnah Navas, that's B'Talmud Chacham, Iker Esko B'Torah. The Baal HaBayis Lo Shayach Zeh. Then he should just be Kovei Itim L'Torah. So the Bach and the Aruch HaShulchan are both presenting that there are Jews who will be more ambitious in their learning. There are Jews who will be less ambitious in their learning, which sometimes may just be a question of economic necessity and what your job options are. It's certainly something to think about in considering preparing for different careers, is thinking about what the options are in terms of how flexible your time is. But he says, regardless of whether you're in the more or less ambitious option, both of them are like Rabbi Shmuel. You could be learning for hours every day and also working on the side, or you may be primarily working and also learning. And the truth is that the Rambam Ray talks about that. That's probably the difference between Perek Aleph and Perek Gimel. Perek Aleph, he talks about the Chiyuv Talmud Torah. Perek Gimel, he opens by talking about Keser Torah. He says, if a Jew wants to not just fulfill his obligation, I have a Chiyuv to learn Torah. That's Perek Aleph. A mitzvah. Mitzvah to learn Torah, mitzvah to sit in sukkah, mitzvah to shake love, mitzvah to learn Torah. Every Jew has to be kovei itim l'Torah. That's Perek Aleph. Perek Gimel, is about, as I think Mashkiach in Sharat Torah pointed out many, many years ago. Paragimel Rama opens Paragimel by referencing the Mishnah Paragimel is about Kesar Torah. A Jew wants to be Zoche and to be crowned by Torah, to be transformed by Torah, so that's more than just being Mekayim the Mitzvah. That's already a higher level of dedication. I'm dreaming of being a big Talmud Chacham. So that's going to require more dedication. That's going to require even better time, not just being Kovei Eitzim, but that's going to require better time management. It should be noted that in the middle of Paragimel, the Parak of Kesar Torah, is where the Rambam railed most intensively against thinking Yigimatul Atzmo al Tzedakah. He doesn't see Kesar Torah as meaning, therefore, I'm not going to work. But it means I'm going to think much more ambitiously about how I'm going to grow to dynamically be a big, big Talmud Chacham throughout the course of my life, while I'm also economically responsible and self-sufficient. It should be noted, I think Rav Yonah has a different approach. He says that everyone can make his Torah Kevin Malacha Arai. It's not a question of quantitatively how many hours, it's a question of qualitatively, what's teleologically, what do I have a clarity of, what's my focus, and what's the means to an end. But this is, again, we dealt thoroughly with the sugya of Torah Parnasa, the role of work in the life of a Jew, and how that interacts with learning, as well as touching a little bit on the general question of the Chi of Talmud Torah, and there may be two models. One is to be Kavei Talmud Torah, another one is to be Zoche Bekisrus Torah. A Jew has that capacity. Again, that's not Shemitah Yovel Perik Gimel. That's Hilchus Talmud Torah Perik Gimel. Within the realm of Rabbi Yishmael and working for a living, but the ideal Rabbi Yishmael is that I'm thoughtful about career choice. I'm thoughtful about how lavish a lifestyle I want to lead, so that I can seek to realize my dreams of becoming a big, big Talmud Chacham. Okay. Mishnah, next time we'll pick up with the world of Shira. Of Shira al Hayayin. And then we're going to start jumping into what's it called? Into the details of Birkas HaPeres. But let me ask you one last question before you go. And that is within the sugya. Why is this sugya here? Why do we talk about Torah Parnasa here? We were talking before about the Makar of Birkas HaPeres. We're about to go back to the Bracha on Yayin, the Bracha on Shemen, the Bracha on Wheat Berries. In the middle, we took a break to talk about Torah Parnasa, the important sugya. People are thinking about their future and their career and their learning. But why is it in the beginning case Mevarach? So it could be, look, at the bottom of Laman Hamad Aleph, we had a steer in Psukim, and the Yishuv was, and the Shemar to Melo versus Haratos of Adam, and the Yishuv was Brachas. So male, now we have more steer in Psukim. But that's a little bit of a stretch. I mean, there are many steer in Psukim that Chazal deal with throughout Chas. Why Dafka this, of all things? It has to be Lechor more than just, well, this is also a steer in Psukim. Trachterein. What was the yisod of Pirkei Hananim? What did the Gemara say? That really the world is Ribbono Shel'olam's. And every single time you make a bracha, you remind yourself that I'm enjoying the world at the grace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, and He's providing for me. Don't lose yourself in the illusion of Kochiro Tzimyadi that I control my destiny. I don't control my destiny. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world. And it's in that context that the Gemara then talks about, well, Vasafta Diganecha. But the Torah says you are supposed to work for a living. How does that work? And the answer is, yeah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is Mashlim that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu absolutely expects us to be Mishtadel with a recognition that efforts are on us, results are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly the sugya of Torah Parnasa. As we saw, right? That you're going to train your child, as Reb Meir said in the Mishnah Pebeis in Kiddushin, you train your child to send your son off to college, make sure he has a parnasa. If college is the way to have a parnasa, it doesn't have to be. Could send him to train him to be an electrician or a locksmith or a plumber, whatever it is. V'yispalo mishal osir nachas mishalo. That balance of hishtadlus that's deeply ingrained with an awareness that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and I'm going to work for the same reason I'm learning Torah, for the same reason I'm making brachas, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. And it's in that context that v'asafta d'ganecha. V'asafta d'ganecha, I don't do yishtalos despite HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I do yishtalos because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to work for a living. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to daven and learn and spend my life with all the other mitzvahs. And I recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do this reasonable yishtalos and daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless my efforts with success. Take a 10-minute break now and stretch your legs. Guys are interested? We'll end with a little mishmar. Oh, no, who has questions? No one has questions. Anyone has questions? Okay. Good. So let's take a break. We'll reconvene. I don't know if this cheer room downstairs is probably taken by BNP guys. So we'll do a... It's going to be daytime. We'll be in Fleishik Aroma. We'll have a Fleishik Aroma afterwards. We'll reconvene here in 10 minutes. Kieran. Yeah.
I would say even as possible that another connection that we said that Yom Bracha, it's like stealing. You also said if you don't teach your son, teaching him to steal.